he could be a heterosexual, and if Ring of Honor had penis and testicles, he probably would still think about it. If he was gay, if Ring of Honor had a nice rack and a nice ass, you know, I think he would think about it. If Ring of Honor had a tail and four paws, I think he'd probably think about it. If Ring of Honor was just plastic with a big, I think he'd think about it. If Ring of Honor was just a toilet paper holder, I think he'd think about it. He fucking loves Ring of Honor as much, or if not more, as much as I loved.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
You know, as I'm going through the pictures for tonight's show and looking at that intro about Tony Khan and his love, obsessive love for Ring of Honor, you know, talking about the plastic doll, you know, I'm looking at these Tony Storm photos and, you know, I zoomed one in and I'm like, we're not going to go there. You know, Rio makes a return yesterday. And the thing I find funny online, checking out social media, is that she's dressed in the typical Japanese skirt. Oh, let me see if I could get a little view of her ass when her skirt is flying through the air. You know what I thought was funny about that yesterday? I think Toni Storm would be a perfect actress in a horror film. Do you ever notice this about Toni Storm? Whenever somebody comes to her rescue, you would think that she just got saved from 75-year-old Michael Myers. Or like it's like a bad horror film where somebody just tried to kill her and somebody comes to the rescue. I mean, just look at her facial reactions in the background. She does this all the time. I don't know if anybody notices it. She's in shock. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Look. Yes, it's me. I came to your rescue. She's looking. She's crying. Oh, really? Oh, my God. You really saved my life. Oh, look. I'm just there. She does this all the time. She looks like she's in a bad horror film. You rescued me. And look at Rio. She's like, yes, I did. I rescued you. Now you give me title shot. That's what I think about that. I used to be a big supporter of Riho, but man, the way they bring her out there, you know, like the superhero, and then this excessive look like, oh my God, you just saved me from an attacker. I am so grateful. And Riho's got this look on my face like, yeah, big deal. Oh God. All right. It's Wednesday night. No wrestling on the air tonight. So I actually got tired. I was relaxing, chilling. I legitimately have a cup of coffee here. It better not keep me up later tonight. I also got my sparkling water here. So we're going to talk a little bit about AEW. We'll talk a little bit about NXT. We will get into the ratings. My wish was granted. Little funny shits and giggles joke that we had over the weekend that kind of took a life of its own. We'll share it tonight. We'll do some Halloween Havoc predictions. And you know what? A positive update on Hangman Page. Yesterday, I did Patreon right after both AEW and NXT went off the air. And obviously, the biggest concern in everybody's mind is, what the fuck happened with Hangman Page? You know, you're worried about the neck. You're worried about the back. No, we're not going to go there with that rap song. My neck, my back. Okay, not tonight. You know, you're worried. You know, was it a stinger? Did he get knocked out? Is it a concussion? There were so many unknowns yesterday. The only thing that we knew last night at around 10:30 is that he was rushed to the hospital and they were going to do concussion protocol, which was good because at least they determined very quickly that there was no break. There was, you know, look, the body is fragile. Doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. I mean, my God, look what happened to Sarah Lee. 30 years old. And look at the shape that she was in. And an infection, you know, complication from an infection just took her down. You know, it's horrible. But, you know, Hangman Page, for those that didn't see it yesterday, this is a very quick clip of it. This was the picture. If you look closer, look, just the clothesline that obviously was a little bit too high, got him whiplash on the head, and was taken to the hospital yesterday. Hangman Page this evening gave everybody an update, and this is what he had to tell everyone. He said, hey, thanks everyone for being so nice. I'm doing all right and feeling good today. Had a nice panini for lunch. Thanks to Paul Medical, Mox, Brandon, BJ, etc. And he's a little lighthearted humor with that as well. He suffered a concussion. Now, you know, as I said with Triple H with COVID, you know, you don't immediately think like, oh, no big deal. You know, our bodies are very unpredictable and life is very unpredictable. Ask Adam Cole right now what's going on with him. Just think about that match and look where we're at right now with Adam Cole, and you realize that concussions are a very, very delicate issue. You know, he feels good, but what happens next? So, you know, even though he is upbeat and he feels great today, you know, got to give it time. Time is what is needed right now. So do not expect Hangman Page back in the ring anytime soon. But, you know, so far, so good. It's only 24 hours. You know, if you remember some others with post-concussion syndrome, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. You know, it catches you later on. So we're not wishing that, obviously. We hope Hangman Page gets through this. And look, no blame should be on Jon Moxley yesterday. Shit happens. You know, this is not ballet, as they used to call it. Spur in a moment, timing. But that goes to show you why you leave pro wrestling to the professionals. I was talking about this yesterday on Patreon. I went to wrestling school for 9 months. I obviously did not do very good with it. But one of the things that they really instill in your mind is that inches can be the difference between something being executed beautifully and somebody getting seriously injured. A matter of inches. And, you know, when you see that yesterday, it is kind of rough to see it the way it went down. But, you know, nobody is at fault with that. It was a freak incident. You know, thank God, you know, so far he is doing well. And at least we don't have to, you know, worry as much. At least we know now what happened. Now rest. Rest, relaxation, and fingers crossed. That's the most important thing. So we wish Hangman Page a speedy recovery. So yesterday, Tuesday Night War, we've been hyping it up for well over a week. Obviously, WWE did not want to get their ass kicked in the ratings. It's funny because now, since we know what the ratings are, now you see all the cocky bullshit come out. And, you know, as I had in the original synopsis, and I ended up deleting part of this, what I'm about to say, but if you pay attention to a lot of that biased media, they were sure planning for the last couple of days for a possible AEW ratings loss. They were making excuse after excuse from baseball to NBA that, oh, it's a Tuesday night and this and that. And I brought up AEW was on a Saturday afternoon, dinner time. And I remember Private Party versus FT. I remember clearly. I don't know why, but I remember being at my parents' house in my, you know, basement watching a match, and I'm remembering that it got over a million for a couple of the quarters of that night, you know, and that was advance notice, and you had other sports going on that day. You know, look at NXT. Remember 2 weeks ago they did like sevens, like big number, and people like, you know, I'm confused. Morons actually wrote, I'm confused. It went up against all his playoffs and so I'm confused. Why did it do such a great number? Because at the end of the fucking day, what you put on TV, you want to get that viewer to watch you first run. You don't blame it on baseball. You don't blame it on politics. You don't blame it on certain things. You could blame it on storms when there's mass power outages and tens of thousands of people cannot watch. That's different. But as far as putting something on TV, you know, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of it because guess what? NXT scored a beautiful rating yesterday. If you follow NXT on a weekly basis, their rating yesterday is in line of what they've been doing. All right, AEW, that's where all the excuses come in. Now, I have the entire ratings breakdown for you today, quarter hours and everything. But before we get into the breakdown of the ratings, you know, I watched all these people with their ratings predictions yesterday, and I honestly thought that some of them were predicting 1 million viewers for AEW and like 400,000 viewers for NXT just to get those obsessed whack jobs to like their posts. But I can't believe how off like 98% of everybody out there that put out predictions. I can't believe how off they were. So let me give you the ratings and let's see how Don Tony did with his prediction. Yes, I am talking in the third person and that doesn't sound good. NXT yesterday. Oh, by the way, anybody tell you that NXT actually beat AEW in hour two in the ratings? Not by much, but NXT won hour number two. Think about what AEW aired on hour number two. NXT actually won that hour. Did anybody tell you that today? No, no. NXT yesterday, hour number one, 721,000 viewers. Hour number two, 631,000 viewers for a composite of 676,000. AEW last night, hour number one, 878,000 viewers. Hour number two, 626,000 viewers for a composite of 752,000. When I show you the quarter hour breakdown, you're going to see something pretty startling about AEW. And if you follow the media, what you will think after this is that all AEW fans are Phillies fans or San Diego Padres fans. I'll tell you why in a little bit. So AEW beat NXT yesterday, 752 to 676. You add those two ratings together, that is 1,418,000 viewers, 1,418. So both ratings right around 700,000 viewers, right? Right around 700,000, 1.4 million combined. Well, how did Don Tony do in the ratings prediction for yesterday? Lascelles sent me this very generous 10 spot earlier. Who do I think wins the Tuesday night ratings war, AEW or NXT? And I saw a few of you asking me, what do I think the combined viewership is going to be? Now, I personally think both shows tomorrow are around the sevens. I think combined, it might only be about 1.4 million. I think AEW Dynamite has every opportunity to squeeze out a win here. And understand something. NXT has been averaging about 660, 680 in the ratings. You know, I know that still doesn't sound like a great number, but that's what they were getting in 2020 during the black and gold era. That's better than what they were doing in 2021. And that's only 20,000 viewers away from what they were doing in 2019. Think about NXT in 2019 with the Undisputed Era and everybody else that was still on that roster, even on the women's side. And NXT right now is only 20,000 viewers away from matching 2019. You know, nobody talks about that, but that's kind of crazy to think about. As a developmental, they're scoring that. But in the end, I think AEW, you know, because of their consistent viewership, and you know you got that dedicated fan base out there, I think there's going to be a lot of channel surfing tomorrow. I think in the end, I think AEW scores 738. I think AEW scores 738. And even if NXT scores lower, a little bit lower than what they have been doing, it's still not a bad number for developmental. So I say AEW gets 738
And I think NXT gets about 641. So I do believe AEW will beat NXT in the ratings. Now, NXT obviously has a strong lineup tomorrow. There is, you know, some decent names on there. But at the end of the day, I think AEW will come out on top. We'll see what happens.
It's deep to left. It's going, going, gone. It's not odd. It's not odd. Missed it by that much, but they scored exactly what we expected them to score. Now, what was the running joke that we talked about this weekend? Quincy Elliott. Anybody remember my little joke about Quincy Elliott on the weekend shows? All right, one more clip for everyone out there. This one's only about a minute long, but this will segue into the quarter hour breakdowns. I think you'll get a kick out of this. This was from over the weekend.
I made a little joke on Saturday, and I got two DMs over the weekend, and they were from two different people that I'm sure talked to each other, but they pretty much said the same thing. DT, you may be onto something more than you realize. I said on Saturday that I want Dynamite on Tuesday and NXT on Tuesday to kick ass in the ratings. I'd love to see over a million wrestling fans watching wrestling on Tuesday. But just for shits and giggles, I'd love to see WWE put Quincy Elliott on TV the same time Jericho defends the Ring of Honor Championship against Dalton Castle. And I would pop a gasket and laugh my ass off if Quincy Elliott beat Jericho versus Dalton Castle in the ratings. I'm a fan of Quincy Elliott.
All right, we don't need to show anymore. So, friends, what happened yesterday? Quincy Elliott was in quarter hour 6 and 7. And where was Jericho's match? Quarter hour 6. Quincy Elliott, for a few minutes, went head-to-head against Chris Jericho. What was the ratings outcome, you may ask? I'll just show it to you here. Look at the 9:15 to 9:30. NXT did 613,000 viewers. AEW did 618. There was only a 5,000 viewer difference. But their match, Quincy Elliott and Zion Quinn, went into the next quarter and went up against the segment with Jay Cargill and the Baddies and the beginning of Moxley versus Hangman Page. And look at that shit. Quincy fucking Elliott and that Chase University skit with Chucky. I fucking hate Chucky. They actually beat AEW. Quincy Elliott actually beat Jay Cargill, the Baddies, Moxley, and Hangman Page. 595 to 581. Now, let's get into the quarter hours a little bit further, because this is something you really got to pay attention to. You know, I brought this up, teasing it on social media. Wanted to see if anybody was really going to pay attention. I think Xylot Themes was the only person that made a comment. You all noticed something yesterday a little different about AEW, something that they did a third of the way of the show, almost half into the show. I noticed it right away. And when I went on Patreon, it was one of the first things that I said. Now, I had not been able to do my research yet, but I was able to do it today. And my speculation was 1,000% right. Guys, gals, what's one of the complaints you hear a lot of AEW whack jobs? Look, there's WWE whack jobs as well, but what is one of the complaints they always rub in the face of WWE? Oh, WWE doesn't give us enough wrestling on television. WWE fills up their show with too many skits and backstage segments. Do you know yesterday that AEW had 37 minutes straight of no wrestling inside the ring? They had 37 minutes of segments, interviews, backstage clips. And when I said that yesterday, I had a few people immediately say to me, no, DT, you got to be wrong. No, I was not wrong. Ward Joe's promo.
the Kingdoms promo. FTR backstage interview interrupted by Swerve and All Glory. Jay Lethal and Sonjay Dutt backstage with Darby Allin. William Regal's interview in the ring interrupted by MJF. Backstage interview with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. Then the announcement of titles versus trademarks for Friday. Then you had the backstage interview with Renee Paquette, Brian Danielson, and Willie Yuta. And then you had about 7 minutes of Dalton Castle's entrance and Chris Jericho's. 37 straight minutes of no wrestling. Think that I'm exaggerating? This is a screenshot of the beginning of the segments. This is the Kingdom and Warjo. Now, for those that might be on phones and you really can't see that timestamp, I zoomed into it for you. Their segments started at the 34-minute, 37-second mark yesterday. All right. When the bell, this is a minute before the bell even rang. Chris Jericho and his entrance at Dalton Castle's. All right. When did that occur? I'll zoom in on this for you as well. That occurred at the 1 hour, 10 minute, 36 second mark. So again, if you go back and you look, we went from 34 minutes into Dynamite to 1 hour and almost 11 minutes into Dynamite without a match. 37 minutes yesterday. It's even a little bit longer. Now, am I complaining? No. A lot of the segments were fine, but shut your fucking holes when you say, oh, WWE, they got to give us all this non-wrestling shit, and AEW gives us all this in-ring stuff. We had 38 fucking minutes straight, 38 yesterday, almost 38. So please, stop with this, oh, WWE does this and AEW doesn't. AEW does it too. And in some cases, AEW does it better. But stop with this narrative that is just not true. Now, yesterday, we had the confrontation with MJF and William. We'll get to the quarter hours in a second, but man, how good was this yesterday? How good was this? Let me tell you something. I don't know if I could zoom in on William Regal's face. It is working. William Regal has this creepy, creepy, creepy fucking look on his face that I would be scared shit. If I was bad-mouthing William Regal and he had that look on his face, I'd be scared shit. He's got this deranged look on his face. And look, MJF, you know, again, when you could say whatever you want, you know, it sounds good, you know, but when you get into things like I almost killed myself, this and that, you know, some of it is a little bit over the top, but last night it was art. That went about 15 minutes and there was nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Now, I saw this come in a few moments ago from Ronnie C. Any chance William Regal aligns with MJF? Thank you for the 10 spot. No, I don't think so. I think MJF, the devil, MJF has to attack William Regal, especially that at the end of the night, they announced that MJF will be challenging Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship in Full Gear. That's happening sooner than you realize. So I think at some point, MJF has to show that he is the fucking devil and beat the shit out of William Regal. And that's got to piss off Jon Moxley even more. You know, we use a lot of Rocky movie references. And if you notice, they actually are starting to play out on some of the wrestling we see on TV. We even hear some people use Rocky references. Corey Graves did that recently. I don't remember if it was Excalibur. Somebody mentioned it. Maybe because Creed 3, I think, is coming out. But, you know, here's another case where you remember, what is it, Mr. T and Rocky Balboa having a pull apart. And then, what was his name? Mickey?
My heart.
So, you know, I think when William Regal, Mickey, it's not going to die in storyline, but when William Regal gets attacked and he's selling seriously injured, it's going to make Jon Moxley, he's going to have that look on his face like, I am going to destroy MJF. And the problem is a lot of fans are actually getting behind MJF. There was a point yesterday, William Regal was getting booed and MJF was getting cheered heavily. Then it shifted. And you know when that happens? That's when you know you got magic. William Regal, one of the most beloved people and still getting booed. That is the crowd's way. They're not trolling William Regal. What they're doing is they're basically sending a message to William Regal during that segment. Okay, sunshine, MJF just cut the promo of his life on you. I see your promo and I raise you too. So that is a challenge to William Regal to give it right back to MJF, and he did, and it won the crowd right back over. That is a battle. When you hear fan reaction like that, that's not fans trying to troll one side or the other. That's fans acknowledging who's winning the segment. You see that with CM Punk if he has an exchange with someone. When you have two people on the mic, Rock, Cena, back in the day. I mean, at one point you'd have Cena getting cheered and then Rock getting cheered, and then you see Rock getting booed. And so that's magic there. So that was awesome. So, but here's the question to everyone out there. Did 37 minutes of non-wrestling, did that keep the fans interested? So let's take a look at the quarter-hour breakdowns yesterday. Now, I want to thank Johnny for sending this to me, but this is credited to WrestleNomics. They're the ones that actually did the research. All I did was just take an email from someone, and I'm putting it here. So as you will see, you know, let's look at NXT first. You had Rhea Ripley versus Roxanne Perez opened up NXT with 752. All right. Then you get to the second quarter, which is the finish of their match. Cameron Grimes and the OC backstage. Tony D'Angelo's live promo. If you remember, you know, who Stax's opponent's going to be, which we'll get into in a few moments. But if you look at bottom line is, as you're looking at your screen, if you see the first four quarters of NXT, it was rather steady. 752, 769, 744. But then you see that fourth quarter drops all the way down to 619. Something obviously happened at the fourth quarter of hour one where fans decided to change the channel. You're talking 125,000 fans. That is huge. Now, what happened that quarter? Wesley Oromensa, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, they had their match. And then you had, you know, a little quick hype for the schism later on. So that did not keep the fans interested. Now, 30,000 of those fans probably changed the channel to watch AEW because at that time, William Regal and MJF were doing their magic on TV. So they were at 827,000 viewers. But if you look at those four quarters for AEW, they started off with 1,062,000, which was a lead-in from playoff baseball. Wasn't it the Yankees versus the Guardians? So they opened up Dynamite with 1,062,000. Within 15 minutes, they lost 240,000 of those viewers. Those are not wrestling fans that changed the channel. Those are baseball fans that it's like, oh, you know, baseball's over. Wrestling's on my TV. Let me change the channel. So that million opening is always exaggerated because of that. So you look at this, the second quarter, they did 824. Then here's where you get all the talking shit. It went from 824 down to 797. They got 30,000 of those viewers back during the William Regal MJF promos. But then here's where it nosedives. Here's where it nosedives for AEW. Look at this closely. And when I show this to you, I'm going to go back to the other first hour. Pay attention to quarter four. At quarter four, which is 8:45 to 9 p.m., NXT did 619 and AEW did 827, right? So now I want you to look what happens next. NXT went from 619 to 680. They actually went up about 60-something thousand viewers. AEW nosedived from 827 down to 645. That is 170,000 viewers. If you listen to the people online, oh, they changed the channel to the Phillies baseball game. So I guess NXT fans are not baseball fans because their rating went up almost 70,000 and AEW's went down almost 170,000. How's about that? Maybe a lot of AEW fans channel surfed and then decided to stay on NXT. Because NXT during that quarter, I had Cameron Grimes and the OC, Gallows and Anderson versus the Schism. You have Veer Mahan and Sangha backstage. What was on AEW? More talking segments. The Acclaimed, Billy Gunn, Wheeler Yuta, Brian Danielson. Think about that. The Acclaimed, Billy Gunn, probably the hottest team in AEW. Brian Danielson, one of the most over wrestlers in that company. Chris Jericho and Dalton Castle doing their extravagant intros. And the rating tanked 170,000 viewers. There's no excuse for that. Zero. Zero. Unless you follow online. So now, what happens when AEW drops 170,000 viewers? Could they get any of those viewers back? And the answer is no, not really. Because Chris Jericho versus Dalton Castle continued to tank all the way down to 618. Now, again, I don't use this 1,062,000 that opened Dynamite. I use quarter two, which is 824, to think that AEW lost over a third of their viewers when Jericho versus Dalton Castle, once again, more Ring of Honor stuff. I have no vendetta against Ring of Honor, but this, the more Tony Khan does this, and the media online is not telling you this stuff, you know, and that probably hurts Tony Khan, because Tony Khan probably thinks because he owns Ring of Honor and he could put his TV stars under that product, that eventually it's going to, you know, get millions of viewers also. It ain't fucking happening, because it's been around for a while now, and you see those substantial drops. It never fucking recovered. Look at that. Hour one for AEW did 878, almost 900,000 viewers for hour one. Hour two dropped all the way down to 676. And as I said, Quincy Elliott, Chase University, Chucky, Pretty Deadly, Malik Blade, and Idris Enofe, none of them are WWE wrestlers. They're all prospects. They beat the beginning of Moxley versus Hangman Page, Jade Cargill, and the Baddies. It's right in front of your face right there. And the main event of Moxley versus Hangman Page, the injury. Now, you would think because people were very concerned and it started circulating, like, oh, put on Dynamite, something happened to Hangman Page, you would think that NXT may have had a substantial drop at that point. People were changing the channel to see what happened to Hangman Page. No, NXT's rating actually went up. Went up. So I wanted you to see those quarter hours because, like I said, you know, this is a case where people are not telling you that stuff. You know, especially like I said, NXT won hour number two. Without the overrun, they won hour number two. So did you see one person bring that up yesterday? No. Today. No, not at all. So those are your ratings breakdown from yesterday. Overall, I thought the shows were very good. In my honest opinion, AEW yesterday, that should have been Battle of the Belts. You take away the 37 minutes of what I showed you earlier. Even MJF and William Regal. Because for a Battle of the Belts special, you don't need that. You don't need that. You save it for Dynamite. If they would have aired those four matches for Battle of the Belts, I would have said, that's what Battle of the Belts should be. They called it Title Tuesday. You know, just think about that. Battle of the Belts is supposed to be a special where nothing but championships are defended. And within 2 weeks, you decide, oh, I'm going to put something on Tuesday where our viewership will likely be lower for various reasons. And they give us four matches yesterday. Four. That's all we got. They were all title matches. So the Death Triangle retained their trios titles over Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. And as we've been talking about for weeks, the seeds are planted. Pac will be breaking away from them soon. You know, Rey Fénix suddenly, you know, it's funny. I'm just talking storyline. The Lucha Bros could break every fucking rule in the book, double team everyone, do crazy shit outside the ring, use tables, everything else. But because Pac brings in a ring bell hammer, Rey Fénix is like, no, you cannot do that. No, that's not what they're about. It's just stupid, if you really think. It's stupid. Toni Storm retaining the AEW Interim Women's Championship over Kairi Sane, and as I showed you earlier, Riho came out to make the save. Saraya and Britt Baker, and this was funny because Saraya showed how much she cares about, you know, her teammates. You had Jamie Hayter and Rebel beating the shit out of Toni Storm in the ring. Saraya sees Britt Baker, and you actually look. Saraya turns around and looks at Toni Storm. Toni Storm's getting her ass kicked. Saraya's like, fuck this. She went into the crowd and ran away with Britt Baker. You know, they're going to have that match at Full Gear. Maybe it's unsanctioned, like I said. They still have not publicly said that she's cleared. So they're going to go either, you know, right before the announcement, she's going to announce that she's cleared, or they're going to make an unsanctioned match. We've talked about that already. But since Saraya decides to go into the crowd, Riho comes out, makes the save, and, you know, Toni Storm with her horror film look on her face. And then Chris Jericho retaining the Ring of Honor championship over Dalton Castle. You know, none against Dalton Castle, but suddenly he's a mega superstar online. Honestly, you know, I don't know. You know, Jericho is supposed to be the full-blown heel, not showing honor. And meanwhile, you know, Dalton Castle could do that, put going in his groin and everything. And everybody's like, ha, 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 ha. John Moxley winning by referee stoppage over Hangman Page. Obviously, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. After the match was stopped early, they still had about 7 minutes of airtime to, you know, to use up. Now, obviously, they were going to close out Dynamite with MJF challenging for the championship. They stalled it for 3 or 4 minutes. Then they had MJF challenge. Moxley cutting his promo. Moxley was supposed to cut a promo, just not, obviously, about Hangman Page getting injured. But MJF ultimately challenges. They teased yesterday that there could be a match, but there was no overrun. There was no overtime. And they're going to main event Full Gear, which is the way to go. Now, as I said earlier, which I think is just stupid, you have on Rampage Friday, the Acclaimed taking on Tony Nese and Josh Woods. They're calling it titles versus trademarks. So, you know, because they don't want to lose any momentum with the Scissor Me stuff, they're already doing a stipulation where if the Acclaimed win on Friday, they get the trademark. It's as bad and as rushed as the Mark Sterling stuff with the petition. Remember that? If Tony Nese beats Orange Cassidy, Orange Cassidy must sign the petition and Swerve Strickland is out of AEW. And 1 week, they awful. I don't know why they do shit like that. We did find out, though, that the next Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view is going down. And I word it like that. It is a Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. It's almost like ECW One Night Stand. Yes, we only got one ECW pay-per-view for 05 and one for 06. But until there are house shows, until there are regular touring, and not just an added hour to TV tapings, you know, ooh, why does that not look right? That looks right. Take note of the start time, everyone. 3 p.m. Saturday, December 10th, Ring of Honor Final Battle. It's at the DFW Metroplex in Arlington, Texas. Now, I tried to do some research as far as the seating capacity for that building, and I really could not find anything online. So I will get that info and I will get back to you. But they are starting the pay-per-view at 3 p.m., which is really, really interesting. So that is your next Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. For those that are on audio only, Samoa Joe is predominantly featured on this cover. So that's what we have looking forward to for December. I'm sure the card will be decent. Now, during Dynamite yesterday, after Chris Jericho beat Dalton Castle, Chris Jericho pile drove Jerry Lynn on the title belt. So, you know, just to try to add extra heat to Chris Jericho. All right. It is what it is. It is what it is. Rams fan, I think Jericho absolutely has that belt until then. I think Jericho, look, you hear mixed messages online as far as Ring of Honor trying to get a TV deal. We already talked to death what the circumstances would have to be for that to even be considered. You either are going to have to add an extra hour or two to some tapings, weekly tapings, or it's going to replace something with Dark or Elevation or maybe even Rampage. You know, but remember, you know, it's network TV. It's not YouTube stuff. If they wanted to do stuff strictly for YouTube, they could already be doing that. They could chop Elevation shit in half and put Ring of Honor stuff instead. So this is about national TV. And I think in the end, Rampage should be the casualty of this. And if they get, and even if they get an extra hour, Saturday night maybe, maybe Sunday evening early, they get an extra hour on TNT or TBS to air Ring of Honor stuff, it's still going to take away from either Dark or Elevation, or they're going to add an extra hour to their weekly tapings, which I don't know how people are going to react to that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, once Ring of Honor is doing things on a regular basis, you know, then I'll put a little bit more creed into it. But right now, it's just the titles being used, and it's a themed pay-per-view. But there's is nothing else but that, if you really think about that. So, all right, let's get this stuff out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about NXT. NXT yesterday, you know, it was, oh, and by the way, we have a little video from Carl Anderson addressing the double booking with New Japan and Crown Jewel. So I will share that with you in a few moments. But NXT yesterday, I mean, overall, it was a really fun show. Rhea Ripley having her first match back in over 4 months. You know, she had some significant health issues that she needed to take care of, and she did. Roxanne Perez, as we have said many times before, she is a future star. She is getting there. You know, you see she has bright moments on SmackDown. She had some bright moments yesterday with Rhea Ripley, but you could see clearly that Rhea Ripley had to really slow it down big time so Roxanne Perez could keep up with her. And even with that, there was, you know, a little bit of, you know, miscommunication. Rhea Ripley tremendously over by the NXT fans. They're chanting Judgment Day because Finn Balor was there. Damian Priest was there. Dominic Mysterio was there. Dominic actually helped Rhea Ripley this time. Rhea Ripley always helping Dominic. This time Dominic returned the favor, you know, distracting Roxanne Perez so Rhea Ripley gets the win. But she was over yesterday, and it was great to see Rhea Ripley yesterday. She looked like she was legitimately having fun. It was great to see. Now, obviously, the more ridiculous part of the night. No, not just this garbage. Fucking Chucky. I'm telling you, in 2022, I can't believe we're still talking about Chucky, Michael Myers, and Laurie Strode. It's now becoming the annual tradition. It's not just Halloween Havoc. Chucky's got to be involved. So we had Chucky stuff yesterday. Chase University stuff with Chucky was kind of funny. But Tony D'Angelo, he's going to teach Stax a lesson about respect. Hey, Stax, you want to know your part, who you're going to face? Hey, everybody, you want to know who Stax's opponent's going to be? I'm going to tell you right after this commercial break. We popped yesterday big time for that because they never do that on TV. I don't know why they don't do that shit on TV. But you'd think Tony D'Angelo, unless they're turning him babyface, you know, I don't know. It's like mixed messages. But you know, if Tony D'Angelo is going to give some tough love to Stax, you bring out a quintessential heel. Me, I thought Omos was the perfect opportunity. You know, Omos beats the balls off of Stax. Hey, Stax, it's tough love. I'm teaching you respect, a lesson. Got to knock it into you. So explain to me, if you understand the Tony D'Angelo storyline, the announcer's trying to sell us that, oh, Tony D'Angelo pulled his strings and he gets fucking Shinsuke Nakamura to show up. Now, obviously, they wanted Nakamura to have a competitive match with Stax and Nakamura wins, but it was so illogical Like, you look at the storyline with Tony D'Angelo. Hey, I'm going to make a couple of phone calls. And yeah, I'm going to talk to my Japanese mafia friends. We're going to bring out Shinsuke, the Yakuza. I made an offer to the Yakuza, and they got Shinsuke. Now, Fightful is reporting that Shinsuke may remain in NXT throughout the remainder of 2020. I don't think they said that. They said, you know, for the foreseeable future. But I asked the person I trust yesterday, and they said to me, yeah, he may actually stick around until early 2023. So Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But he looked great yesterday. You could see, look, when you see Shinsuke versus Stax yesterday, you could see how much Shinsuke is aged. I mean, and I'm not talking about in-ring ability because he could still go. But Shinsuke is, you know, he's now in his 40s, right? So he's no spring chicken anymore. But he beat Stax yesterday, which was a fun match. Stax, give that motherfucker credit. Because I know it was less than a year ago that we were talking about he still got a long way to go. And he still has a ways to go. But you could see he's starting to put the shit together. And it was a decent match yesterday. Alba Fire over Sonya Deville. A little miscommunication with Toxic Attraction. As we told everyone, Mandy Rose showed up, attacked Alba Fire. Alba Fire, you know, if you really look closely, she ain't ready for the main roster. If you really look closely, she is very talented. But she's still, in my opinion, a year away from the main roster. You could see, you know, there are some brain farts with Alba Fire. And that'll improve over time. You know, I remember how people were just flipping out on the name change. She ain't ready for the main roster. But she's going to take on Mandy Rose for the championship on this weekend, and we'll do predictions in a few minutes. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams over Wesley and Oro Mensah. Cameron Grimes and the OC, Gallows and Anderson over the Schism. Shotzi Blackheart came out, and she announced that she was going to be the guest host for Halloween Havoc. And, you know, she's been a guest host before for Halloween Havoc. And that last outfit she wore, my God, you know, she's like perfect for Halloween. She's like the Elvira of pro wrestling. But, you know, Zion Quinn wants to host. Quincy Elliott wants to co-host. So they have a match yesterday to determine who is going to co-host Halloween Havoc with Shotzi Blackheart. And lo and behold, Quincy Elliott beats Zion Quinn. So your official hosts for Halloween Havoc is Quincy Elliott and Shotzi. You know, look, I know a lot of you out there absolutely are intensely dedicated to Jim Cornette and a few other podcasts out there. But let me tell you something. You know, this is developmental. Yes, I'm not the biggest fan of Quincy Elliott's current character, but you know, and yes, he is, you know, a big guy. But, you know, I've brought it up a few times already. I got to see his NXT debut match in person in Florida. And I talked to a few people who are friends with him. And they say that guy is so dedicated to, you know, being a wrestler. And he's a lifelong wrestling fan. And some of his outfit is to tribute some of the wrestlers of yesteryear, like Mabel and others. You know, he's got a weight problem. But there's much more behind that weight problem. You know, some people think, oh, you got a weight problem, it's just lazy. It's not the case. But this is developmental. This is where you test things out. As we were saying last week, look at Wendy Chu. What did we say on Saturday? Wendy Chu. You know, it wasn't too long ago that she was blowing vape in people's faces during the COVID era. Now she sleeps with a body pillow and everybody fucking loves it, including me. So they will test things, but you see, you know, how much they like this guy. They're making him guest host with Shotzi Blackheart. So, yeah, Benjamin, you're right. We don't watch wrestling for nice guys, but you could root for them. You could root for them. You want to see them succeed. You know, what did we say yesterday on the show with Hangman Page? You know, the wrestling world, including legends, came together to hope, pray to God, that Hangman Page was okay. You know, when tragedy or something negative happens, everybody forgets their bias, forgets their anger, forgets all this, and everybody comes together. It happens all the time. You know, now since we find out Hangman Page is okay, you give it about a week or two, and you'll get the same criticism and bullshit that you've seen before. So, you know, you can root for good guys. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean you don't root for bad guys, but, you know, you don't wish them ill. But, you know, you want to see people that are generally good, that are working hard. You want to see those people succeed. So, and it goes to show you that WWE sees something with this guy. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, probably not going to go anywhere, you know, anytime soon. But, again, it's developmental. People need to remember that. I don't care, you know, how good it comes off on TV. It's still developmental. It's still developmental. I mean, nothing has changed. You could change a color of a logo. You could change a backdrop. You could change this. It's still developmental. Cora Jade over Raquel Rodriguez by DQ yesterday. That was kind of goofy because Cora Jade brought in a kind of like a Singapore cane. Yes, she swung and she missed. Usually if you don't connect, you don't get disqualified, but Raquel Rodriguez grabbed it, connected, got disqualified, and to immediately shift the attention, Roxanne Perez comes out, chases Cora Jade away. That's to set up the match for this weekend. And then to close out the night, we had Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens making an appearance, doing a Kevin Owens show with Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, and JD McDonagh. And Kevin Owens, as he always is, a lot of comedy, and you know, you could see that the tension is in the air with the guys, and Kevin Owens like, everybody, wait a minute. He's pulling chairs aside, and he's getting out of the ring. He's like, now you could beat each other up. So Kevin Owens, you know, just good to see him in NXT. KO show, no issues whatsoever. So let's briefly do predictions for Halloween Havoc. It is this Saturday, the 22nd of October. Will I be doing a recap Saturday night? No. No. As of right now, I will include it on Monday's show. I wanted to do it, but we have a show Saturday morning, and I still want to do that show, so I don't want to do a show Saturday morning and then do a recap at night. So we'll just do the regular Don Tony show in the morning. But let's get into predictions. Only six matches on the card. Now, there is a little twist, and I'll show you sneak peek. Austin Theory. We'll get into Austin Theory in a moment. We have Grayson Waller versus Apollo Crews. Spin the wheel, make the deal. They have not spun the wheel yet to determine what their match is going to be. Now, for those that still don't know this, these wheels are rigged. You can rent a wheel, and you can have it set up that it'll always land on something specific. Now, yes, there's always risk that something could go wrong. But, you know, for the most part, they pay pretty big money to make sure these things are legit. And they land on the matches that they want. We don't know what this is going to land on. But if you've paid attention to the storyline, you know, Grayson Waller, the bloodshot eyes recently, and him trying to blind Apollo Crews, I will not be surprised if they have a blindfold match. Something with the eyes. And Chucky's going to be, oh, look at this. Blindfold. It's probably going to be something like that. And in the end, why would they rig that, Charlie? Because this is entertainment. They want to continue a storyline on TV. They don't want it to be an outcome or a type of match that would make no sense or would suck. These things are rigged. It's part of entertainment. So I think we're going to get some type of blindfold match, something with the eyes. In the end, Grayson Waller needs this win more than Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews, you know, when people talk about wrestlers being demoted, I think out of everybody that has made appearances in NXT, I don't even feel that Veer Mahan has been demoted. I think that we're going to get to see Veer as he should be, because on the main roster, how does he break through right now? There is no chance. But Apollo Crews, man, since he's been there, it is all over the place. And I don't feel that's changing anytime soon. So I'm going to go with Grayson Waller to get the win. I'm going to go with him to get the win. Next on the card. Okay, here is the one that, you know, a lot of people are talking about. We have Oro Mensah. Ooh, what the hell did I just do? Hold on. There we go. We got Oro Mensah versus Nathan Frazier, Carmelo Hayes, Wes Lee, and Von Wagner. Ladder match to determine the NXT North American champion. The title is currently vacant. I think this is Wesley's time. You know, we still are holding out hope that, you know, Zachary Wentz will be brought back eventually. Not just yet. Nathan Frazier, I think, would be the underdog on this, and I think the fans may root for Nathan Frazier more than anybody, but I think this is Wesley's breakout moment as a singles wrestler. So although me, I will be rooting for Nathan Frazier to win this, I'm going to go Wesley to win this North American championship. All right, next. You know, and I think you could see why we're really not going to do a special recap for this, because a lot of these matches are going to be very, very quick to get into. I mean, unless we did like a 30-minute recap. Who really wants to, you know, we could just add it to one of the shows. Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez in a weapons wild match. It's Extreme Rules. They just, because this stipulation was announced before the Extreme Rules Premium Live event, that's why they didn't use the term Extreme Rules. This is going to be, you know, lots of weapons being used. I don't think anybody else will get involved in this match, but, you know, at some point, Roxanne Perez has got to get the upper hand on this. Cora Jade has kind of been, you know, the one on top quite a bit in this feud. So I think Roxanne Perez, at this point, she ends up prevailing in this match. It's going to be sloppy. You're not going to see too much wrestling. And you know what? When you have a feud like this, that's the way to go. It's supposed to be a bitter rivalry. Best friends who are now best enemies. So I'm going to go Roxanne Perez to get the win here. Moving right along, this is the match that has me the most confused. Julius Creed versus Damon Kemp, ambulance match. If Julius loses, Brother Brutai must leave NXT. Now, believe me when I tell you, if Brother Brutai, Brutus, loses, you ain't going to see no Santos Escobar moment in the parking lot where he pulls up in his pickup truck or SUV, rolls the tinted window down, and he looks at, you know, Julius. He's like, get the guy leave without you? And then Julius gets in the SUV and then shows up on Raw or SmackDown? No. That shit ain't happening twice. We ain't getting no Legato moment. Damon Kemp, that motherfucker. I am a avid fan of NXT. I like watching developmental wrestlers developing in real time. You know, I know some of you out there love college sports. You love your minor league baseball teams, your minor league sports teams. You know, I like seeing wrestlers turning into future stars of tomorrow. Damon Kemp, for me right now, Damon Kemp might be my choice for 2022 as, you know, rookie of the year for NXT. Not overall in pro wrestling, but that guy, would you have ever thought that Gable Steveson's brother would be the one to break out like this? You know, he's on fire right now. Julius Creed is excellent. You see that raw power. What him and his brother does, sometimes we show you some of the moves. It reminds me of Steiner Brothers from back in the day. When the Steiners first started putting it together, the, you know, Scott Steiner's and Rick Steiner's strength, I mean, some of the shit they did back then, I mean, Steiner's Frankensteiner back then, it was just mind-boggling when you would see it. These guys are tremendous. Why would WWE break them up? Why would they break them up? The Creed brothers is one of the bright tag team future, you know, stars of the future. And we know how WWE's had a problem with tag teams in recent years. So splitting them up really makes no sense for me. You know, you split them up. Brutus is what? Going to go to Raw? Going to go to SmackDown? Is he going to be the next Otis? Is he going to be like, what do you do? In my honest opinion, I think you have to have Julius Creed win this. I think Damon Kemp has to go in the ambulance. Maybe somebody show. Look, we've talked about this a few times. Roderick Strong is probably going to be the factor in this match. They played off that he's still in the hospital, which, you know, if you really dissect the storyline, is very interesting, because if he was home in a neck brace, then he could just take the neck brace off at Halloween Havoc, and you find out that he was making it up, that he's not really hurt. But if you're in a hospital for 3 months and they do a skit where you're in the hospital being wheeled out in a wheelchair with IVs coming out of you, and then you show up on Halloween Havoc and you take everything off. Now, I was lying. If I was the hospital, I have your ass arrested. You're like, wait a minute. We've been giving this fucking guy free hospital food for 3 months and he's fine. I mean, obviously I'm talking stupid, but you know, it kind of like makes the storyline kind of stupid. And Roderick Strong, you feel he's got to turn full-blown heel. Like, Roddy saving the day and getting his comeuppance on Damon Kemp, that's probably the way to go. So I'm going to go with Julius Creed to win. I don't like the stipulation. I did not like if Julius loses, Brutus has to leave NXT. Because, you know, like, if Damon Kemp loses, you know, like, again, it's almost like the Tony D'Angelo Santos Escobar match. If you lose, you're at NXT. But if I lose, you still work for me. Or you don't work for me anymore. It's like too one-sided, even though Santos Escobar lost. But it's still, you know, it's too one-sided. I just can't see the Creed brothers being split up. I think a lot of people out there who follow them enough will turn around and say that makes no sense whatsoever to split them up right now. There's no reason to at all. So, Mandy Rose defending the NXT Women's Championship against Alba Fire. There's been a lot of buzz about Mandy Rose going to the main roster. I don't think that should happen yet. With Ronda Rousey there and several others, I mean, what are you going to do? Have Mandy Rose come out and challenge Ronda Rousey? I'm sure the fans would get into the surprise and everything, but I don't know. That kind of falls flat for me. Mandy Rose showing up on Raw and challenging Bianca Belair, I don't know how I feel about that. There's a lot of people that are above Mandy Rose on the main roster food chain. Like, Mandy Rose is not one of those, like, you know, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, they return, you know, they get slotted right back in the title hunt. Mandy Rose, though, I don't think gets that. Just like when Alexa Bliss comes back from injury, I'm not even sure if Asuka gets that when she comes back. So I'm going to go with Mandy Rose to retain. I like Alba Fire. She's definitely, you know, a future star. But to me, she's not main roster material yet. I say Mandy Rose retains that championship. And then that leaves the three-way. Bron Breakker defending the NXT championship against Janie McDonough and Ilya Dragunov. Man, Ilya Dragunov is on a different level. And I absolutely would love to see him become NXT champion. If we were closer to the Royal Rumble, I might feel a little bit different about this, but I personally think that it's not time yet to move Bron Breakker to the main roster. Some people are, you know, it's interesting that they're reporting this now right before Halloween Havoc. Have you seen the reports out there that WWE is seriously considering moving Mandy Rose and Bron Breakker to the main roster? I think that's a roll of the dice because they think that they may lose their championships at Halloween Havoc. And then if they don't lose their championships in Halloween Havoc, they'll say, oh, well, WWE decided it's not the right time yet. That's how you get out of, you know, the roll of the dice. That's sausage. Bron Breakker is doing fine. I think the three-way is designed to have Ilya Dragunov and Jaden McDonough beat the shit out of each other. I'm not saying that Bron Breakker will sneak a win, but I honestly think that we could see a situation Not necessarily what Dolph Ziggler did, because remember, Dolph Ziggler in the three-way snuck the victory. Was it Breaker, Ciampa, and Ziggler? And then Ziggler ran in and stole the win. I'm not saying that Bron Breakker would exactly do that, but I think Bron Breakker is going, somebody's going to hit a finisher. Either Ilya or JD McDonagh are going to hit a finisher on the other person. And then I think right at that moment, here's where Bron Breakker hits the ring, hits a jackhammer or something else, and gets the pin. I don't think he will steal a victory, but I'm going to go with Bron Breakker to retain. Someone is saying that they need to stop making Bron Breakker face small guys. Well, it's not actually true. I mean, if you look at some of Bron Breakker's opponents this year, they have been, you know, similar size. Some of the guys are smaller, but they're not that much smaller. I mean, Bron Breakker, you know, is a specimen, and, you know, he's getting, you know, in bigger shape. He's main roster bound. He fits that WWE mold beautifully. But, you know, Ilya Dragunov, though, that guy is just on a different level. I am a huge fan of that guy. In fact, you know, I'd love to see that guy have gold right now. But I personally think Bron Breakker will end up retaining. So if you really think about it, other than the North American Championship, you know, we're not having any title changes going down. Now, next week on NXT, they have both tag team championships being defended. You have Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark taking on Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, and then you have Malik Blade and Idris Inofi taking on Pretty Deadly. I do not see Pretty Deadly losing those titles anytime soon. Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, though, I'm not sure yet, but they could very well win those tag titles. Some people think Nikita Lyons is main roster bound sooner than later. I think she needs some NXT gold before she goes to that main roster. So, all right. So those are your matches for Halloween Havoc. It's going to be a fun show. It's Saturday night, so that gives us Sunday free. And that's pretty much it for today's show. Now, I do want to share with all of you what Carl Anderson said, because we mentioned it Monday on the post-Raw show that Carl Anderson is double booked for November 5th, Saudi Arabia and New Japan in Osaka, Japan. They're both advertising Carl Anderson. Yesterday on NXT, we had NXT acknowledge that Carl Anderson is currently a champion in Japan. So they acknowledged that he is champion. And I have a feeling, no, WWE does not have a working relationship with New Japan, but I think it was agreed on that Carl Anderson will not defend the championship in Japan right now, will not be able to make November 5th, and in return, WWE will acknowledge that he is a champion in Japan. You know, they didn't mention New Japan Pro Wrestling by name, but I think ultimately they will. Maybe as an agreement, they let Carl Anderson come out for a match holding that championship. I personally don't see that, only because him coming out with a title that's not WWE 2 weeks after he is back, like, you show up with that championship from day one or you don't show up with it at all. It would be too random if he comes out wearing it now. I mean, it could happen. But Carl Anderson posted a little social media video. Now, keep in mind, this is him being in character a little bit, addressing New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I thought it was entertaining as fuck. So this is Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows addressing the double booking and which show they're going to be working on November 5th.
Are we running hot? Is it running hot?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Talk to good. You. New Japan Pro Wrestling. A few questions. One, are we the OG Bullet Club? Yes. Yeah. Are we the world famous Good Brothers? Yes. Are we repping OC on WWE Monday Night Raw? Yes. And do all bookings still go through the big LG when it comes to Bright Lights, when it comes to the Good Brothers? Yes, they do. You guys announced Bright Lights, the machine gun, Carl Anderson, for a match November 5th. Well, guess what? We're a little double booked because you didn't run it through me. So he ain't coming. We're not coming unless it's on our time. Tell him, Bright Lights.
At gmail.com, that's his shoot email. That's my booking agent. New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen, I love what you've done for the Good Brothers through these years. But let me tell you something. I am the greatest never open weight champion of all time. I only work when the lights are bright. And November 5th, we ain't coming. And we'll come on our time. Machine Gun will tell you when I'm coming to defend my championship.
Hey, dude,
turn that off. We're done.
Fatten that envelope, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool because they were all with the Bullet Club references and, you know, WWE allowing them to do this. So that is, you know, that is the one creative change that Triple H has done, allowing, you know, Michael Cole to acknowledge other promotions out there. Remember when he ran down Walter's career before going to WWE, you know, name dropping other promotions. WWE's comfortable in their skin that you can name drop other companies. And they know that wrestling fans are not going to stop following their product, buying the merch, going to shows, subscribing, simply because, oh, I didn't know this indie promotion existed somewhere else. So they're very comfortable in their skin with that. And I think eventually that forbidden door will be opened in the Triple H era. You know, I mean, obviously Mickie James being in the Women's Royal Rumble, it's amazing how much time has flown since then. We thought, oh, maybe Vince is finally warming up to the idea, and that was not the case. She showed up, and remember, you know, people were thinking this and, you know, sending someone to Impact Wrestling, and maybe we could see. It hasn't happened. But I think down the line, if WWE, look, I think WWE would be warm to it. They would handle it similar to what Tony Khan did. I think we all agree, as much as we criticize Tony Khan's immaturity and some of his ignorance and naive. You know, he's got a lot to learn. I mean, you know, he will if he allows himself to. But one thing we can say without hesitation is that when it came to doing stuff with MLW, doing stuff with NWA, doing stuff with Impact Wrestling, who benefited 99.9% of the time, AEW. Who benefited? I mean, who really, you know, because Tony Khan got to have people on his shows, got exposure on other shows. And in the end, you know, Tony Khan benefited. Impact Wrestling, I don't think benefit all. As we have said so many times over the last year and a half, I think AEW strangleholding the Impact title for all that time that Kenny Omega had it and then Christian, that hurt Impact Wrestling. I think it's irreparable damage. That sent such an awful message to the Impact Wrestling fans that no, we don't have any faith in our own roster to carry that championship during COVID. So we're going to, you know, have a wrestler that's in front of a million people on TV. And, you know, they honestly thought that hundreds of thousands of fans, hey, why won't I tune into Impact Wrestling for a week? Kenny Omega is going to be on. This person, we even had Private Party and Matt Hardy show up at a point, and eventually the ratings were even worse than what they were before. So we'll see what happens. There was something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, okay. I know a lot of you were asking my thoughts on Ace Steel leaving AEW, and I word it that way for a reason. I saw bloggers, podcasters, journalists in the last 12 hours actually writing Ace Steel gone from AEW is CM Punk next. And some people worded it hoping that CM Punk is next. Now, if you remember right after the scrum, I told you that in the end, this biased media, they need the EVPs. They need Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. They don't need CM Punk. CM Punk is not giving them crumbs. They're the ones that have been fed crumbs for the last couple of years. They're all going to turn against CM Punk, and that's still happening. Now, the reason why I'm not talking about Ace Steele tonight is because I don't know if he was fired or if he quit. As of last week, he's gone. We don't know if he quit or was fired. You know, people online don't know either. Now, another thing is this. I said this a week ago. So people that tuned into last week know exactly what I'm about to say. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are going to be back very, very soon. And this so-called investigation is just about over. I mean, when everybody else was preparing you for a bombshell for Vince McMahon that could end up being criminal, and that's why he's stepping down, setting himself up to be prepared to deal with, you know, criminal stuff, I came up here and said, and I hate doing that. I hate doing that. Oh, I did this, and I told you this, and I broke this, because I know how it comes off. When I see people do it online, it turns me off. But the reason why I got to say it here is because when everybody else was trying to convince you that Vince McMahon is a bombshell about to happen, and I said, no, I heard the investigation is just about over. What happened a week later? The investigation was over. Every single one of those people were wrong. Now, I don't know if they intentionally lied to you or they were hoping something was going to happen to Vince or they were just fed wrong information. I told you last week that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are going to be back sooner than you think. And this investigation is not an investigation. There is no Inspector Gadget trying to figure out who punched who. Who kicked who? In the bite marks, let's do forensics. Hey, Punk, everyone else, we want to take bite samples of your teeth. There wasn't. What was happening is Tony Khan trying to figure out how the fuck do we clear up this mess legally. These people are executive vice presidents. This is not, you know, John Laurinaitis on TV, executive vice president. These are not fictitious character names. These were given very important responsibilities in AEW. Not only do you have to address that, but this is what happens when contracts are very, very vague. So that's what Tony Khan was trying to rectify, is how do we come up with an amicable legal conclusion when a lot of shit was not written on paper? That was the truth. So it wasn't an investigation. It was something going on. But it was more, how do we clear this up? How do we resolve this where everybody is made whole again? And that's the deal. So what do you see people now saying? Oh, the Elite were mentioned yesterday on Dynamite. They must be coming back soon. So remember what I told you last week. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks will be back sooner than you think. Ace Steele, I'm trying to find out if he quit. Don't know. So that's why I'm really not getting into it tonight, because people are assuming that he was fired. Probably could, well, I don't want to say probably, right? Could be right. But maybe that guy quit. Maybe he doesn't like the fact that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are coming back. Maybe he doesn't like the climate over there, especially after what happened with his wife in the room and everything. Maybe he's just like, look, I'm out of here. You know, we don't know. So I want to get the answers. When I get the answers, hopefully I'll have them by this weekend, I'll share them with you. If I don't get the answers, I'll tell you. So I don't know. I ask people, if I don't get the answer, I'm not going to, you know, pry it out of people, and I'm not going to say, well, what's your gut feeling? Well, what do you think? No, if I can't get the answer, I can't get the answer. Look at Jeff Hardy. I'll leave everybody with this. I'm not even putting it in a synopsis. Did you see what PW Insider reported today? That Jeff Hardy's attorney asked for another extension. Why? Because they're trying to work out a plea deal. Didn't we say like 3-4 months ago that Jeff Hardy's attorney, his goal is to work out a plea deal, just like Tammy Sitch's lawyer is trying to work out a plea deal. This is not news. If you pay close attention to what's going on in these cases, it's right in front of your face. Jeff Hardy, they're trying to work out a plea deal. The thing you got to understand, everyone, and this is what a lot of reporters don't know, not because I'm smarter, you're smarter, anything, but we take the time to research it. When you go through the court and you go through a procedure, once the ball starts rolling, it's very hard to stop the ball. And my point is this. You, as a defendant, have your right to a fair and speedy trial. And once a certain amount of time goes by, you know, you can't say, can I have another month? Can we wait another 6 months? Can we postpone this until after the holidays? You know, no, that doesn't work like that. So what happens is right now, Jeff Hardy's lawyer is trying to work out a plea deal. And they have not come to an agreement yet. So in the process, the court, the judge, they don't give a shit. If you're supposed to be back this date, everybody's got to be back. So now what happens, you get close to that date and they haven't worked out the deal yet. So the attorney asks, can we have an extension? Because of this excuse, it's legalese. So whatever reason you could get an extension, if you're granted it, it buys you more time. That's what's going on. So these extensions that Jeff Hardy just received is not because they need to research more. It's not because they have to review things still. They want to buy extra time because they're working out a deal with the DA. I don't think this ever goes to trial. We've talked about that 6 months ago. The Jeff Hardy, that's why I stopped about the rental stuff. Because someone who I trust in pro wrestling like DT don't go there. They're trying to work this out. Jeff Hardy is really legitimately trying to straighten out his life. Don't go there. You know, especially if it's a controversial answer to that. And out of respect, you know, we, at the end of the day, we want to see Jeff Hardy get better. We want to see his life get better. He's got to pay. He's got to be responsible. He's got to pay the price for what he did. Could have killed a lot of people that day. You know, trust me, what they pleaded down to is not going to be slap on the wrist. I guarantee you that. Will there be jail time? I don't know. But believe me when I tell you, Jeff Hardy, first of all, you know, he's not going to have a driver's license, maybe permanently, 5-10 years. He's going to have a hefty fine. He's going to have to go into not only counseling, but he's probably going to have to go to, you know, classes. And this is mandated. He may have to do a lot of community service. You might see hundreds of hours of community service attached to this. He may have to go on speaking engagements to try to help others. There's going to be a lot of things attached to this. And this is to avoid it to go to trial, because how do you fight that? How do you fight that footage? How do you fight the fact that you were behind the wheel of a car that you were not supposed to be in, that didn't have the equipment, that didn't have the protective devices because of his history? So, believe me, I tell you, he's not going to get a slap on the wrist, but they are trying to work out a deal. And as far as Tammy Sitch's case goes, I haven't talked to her fiance in a while. I'll probably send him a DM over the weekend and ask him, you know, what's going on. And he'll tell me straight up. And whatever he says that I could say, I'll let you all know. But, you know, one thing I do know is they're trying to work out a deal also. Her deal is going to involve jail time. There's no way around that. And it's going to involve years. That I do know. The question is, do you roll the dice, go to court, and hope that, you know, you're found guilty for a lesser charge of this and that? And in her case, somebody died. Somebody died. And honestly, the DA is working for the family of the victim. And, you know, they're not going to be very, very easygoing in that case. And believe me when I tell you, if a plea deal is worked on with Tammy Sitch, I guarantee you, I'll never do a show again if I'm wrong. I guarantee you that you will hear that DA say that the family of the victim approved it, signed off on the deal. that's the only way that happens. And the big question is, what is that? You know, there's going to be a civil lawsuit that's going to be filed as well. I mean, the fiance, it has been shown he really had nothing to do with it, you know. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, by the way, unfortunately, no love to Butch. No love to Butch. And we have signed cards as well. Nobody that won those contests the last 2 weeks for Butch claimed their prizes. So they are officially back in the pool. So we'll probably have a giveaway with Friday's watch party. So we have like the signed WWE cards. I have autographed cards signed by Butch and the photo. So just pay attention to my social media on Friday. By the way, the next mailbag, I'm supposed to record it tomorrow, but I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment today for my prostate issue, and that was postponed to tomorrow. So it's possible that the mailbag may be postponed until Friday or Saturday. So I'm not sure yet, but you will definitely get one this weekend. But with that said, I'm going to get out of here. I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. A fun night, you know, Tuesday, you know, to see NXT and AEW go head-to-head. Tony Khan definitely deserves a little bragging rights because WWE really did put out a lot of main roster names. I think, you know, to give NXT, AEW a little bit of, you know, sweat under the collar. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we don't have another Tuesday Night War anytime soon, I'm fine with that. Because I think back to Wednesdays when AEW and NXT were going head-to-head, and boy, yesterday was kind of like a crash course of what we were doing before. Just think about that. When Dynamite was on Wednesday and NXT was also on Wednesday, I would have AEW on my television, I would have NXT on my laptop, and I would have my computer by my bed. And I would be watching both shows at the same time, taking notes for both shows at the same time. And then as soon as those shows end, I'm here live trying to give you recaps of both shows at the same time in real time. And man, that takes a lot out of you. You know, I was trying to reminisce in the 90s with the Monday Night Wars. And thank God my hotline was never set up to do full TV recaps, because I think I would have gone crazy at that time. Especially, you know, back then when you would channel surf, you know, you didn't have the streaming media like you do now. Thank God we didn't, especially with 56K modem and real media back then. Some of you be happy that you're younger and you never went through the 28.8K modem days where, you know, you're trying to go on a site to look at naked girls of age, obviously, and you're on a 28.8 modem and you click on a photo and literally, like, you see the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and then you see a shoe, and then you see the arm, and it's almost like they're intentionally keeping like the center part of the picture like last, and the picture would go on YouTube and just search what it was like back in the mid-90s surfing the net and trying to look at high-resolution nudie pics and see. They'll show you what it was like. I mean, it's pretty funny to look back at it. I could only imagine what it would have been like to cover both shows at the Monday Night Wars back then. So, oh, it's amazing how many years have gone by. But everyone, be well. Much love as always. If you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment and elbow that thumbs up button, hit that like button. If you know anyone else out there that would like maybe the channel, let them know about it. I will be up here later this week with the mailbag. We have Saturday morning's Don Tony Show, Sunday sit down, and obviously NXT Halloween Havoc this weekend. So enjoy it if you get to tune in. We'll see what goes down. Oh, I knew we forgot something before we left. This guy, we got to mention it. We got to mention it. Do you think there's any chance Austin Theory cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase to become NXT champion? My honest opinion, I go back to the days when Austin Theory was still in NXT, and I said that I think Austin Theory needs at least one run as champion before he goes to the main roster. That did not happen. I personally think the briefcase has run its course. I think that what could very well happen is after Bron Breakker retains his championship, maybe Austin Theory comes out, cashes in, and loses. I think this might be done to get the briefcase off of Austin Theory so they can move on to a different storyline. I think Austin Theory could very well cash in that briefcase at Halloween Havoc. But do I think Austin Theory walks out NXT Heavyweight Champion? That would be pretty fucking wild, but I don't see it happening. I think this is to get the briefcase off of him. So I'm going to say anything is possible, but I think if WWE, especially now under the Triple H reign, that they just feel that this briefcase is an eyesore, let him try to cash it in at Halloween Havoc and lose. So that's what I'm going for. I understand. I know what some of you are saying. That briefcase is meant for Raw or SmackDown. I get it. But, you know, we're under a different reign right now. So creatively, anything is on the table. Look, you had Toxic Attraction in the tag team title tournament to determine the next WWE Women's Tag Champs. Then Toxic Attraction, where Gigi Dolin got injured. And then they were supposed to have Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, and didn't one of them get injured? So we had NXT women competing in the tag title tournament. So anything is possible at this point. Look at Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa is on the main roster, and he went back and got that North American championship, you know, for a short period of time. And then they did a storyline where they stripped them. They took it away. So anything is possible right now. But honestly, if you want to get the briefcase off of Austin Theory, let him try to cash it in at Halloween Havoc in a losing effort. And then you could cover it on the main TV. Cover it on Raw, cover it on SmackDown. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Bye.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.